All right, okay. Just a testing, just a testing.
Testing one, two.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed with tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. Now I'm happy with the Lord. Yes, we gather in a chapel just to sing and praise the Lord.
Out of here, go leave.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. I don't know what's going on, but Pastor Rinneke is in the house. It's good to be with you on The Elaborators. We were singing that song because on Sunday he was preaching about that song. Apparently you can't find it in the Bible, but you can find it in your worship playlist. It's good to be with you. We've been talking about not worrying. How are you feeling today, Pastor Rinneke?
I'm worried a lot coming into the podcast, to The Elaborator. No. I'm worried.
No, don't worry about this. It's a perfectly safe and perfectly reasonable podcast where we just happen to jam on crying in the chapel on the way. But it's lovely to be with you. And ladies and gentlemen, please officially welcome Pastor Rinneke. All right, you just chat amongst yourselves while I just put my guitar down for a second.
Yeah, it's so good to be here. I know some people asked me to sing. They were waiting for me to sing the chapel.
Yeah.
And they waited and they waited. I'm glad they waited and I didn't sing.
I mean, you just threatened to sing it and I was excited to hear you sing it. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Rinneke gave a message at Werribee Baptist Church on the weekend. You can go and check it out on the podcast where he referenced that particular song. What was it about that song, Crying in the Chapel, that helped you express this idea you were getting across on Sunday of not worrying and being happy? What was it about that song?
Well, I'm speaking of over 20 years ago when we sang that song. It's one of my repertoire with the Tongan Choir. We were singing, and when I sang that song, I've already started to learn that idea of contentment.
Right.
Right from back then, when we were singing that song in our concerts and wherever we did.
Oh, so this was a song you used to use in your concerts with the choir in Tonga.
No, here in Melbourne, E-Takes, the choir that we had. Fatai was still a baby back then, so a Tongan choir called the E-Takes.
The E-Takes.
Evangelical Tongan Angelic Gospel Choir. So it's a Tongan church choir. And most of them are my family.
I was going to say, in my world, E-tags are those little things that go beep as I go down the highway.
Do you charge
$7.50 for every trip? Or
We were hoping that by promoting E-tag, by naming E-tag with an S at the end, we'll get a free pass. But unfortunately, because we started singing that time when the E-tag came to Victoria.
Okay, cool.
And so we borrowed that to name and call it the E-tags.
So this was a Tongan choir that you ran for several years. And you would sing Crying in the Chapel as part of the set?
Crying in the Chapel with one of the repertoire, and I always include it because I sang the solo.
Ah!
That was the reason why.
I'm looking forward to... Look, people were disappointed on the weekend when you stopped to preach and you did not sing. So, ladies and gentlemen, right now, here's a solo. Two. I saw me crying
in the chapel. down and get on my knees and pray. Assemble people and sing.
I'm giving you an opportunity of a lifetime here, and you're blowing it.
I'm getting old now. This is 20 years later, so I'm sorry.
I was trying to be the beatbox for you, but there's something in that lyric. It says, "I know the secret of contentment," and one of the big things that you brought out in your message was this idea of contentment, which is worry exists, happiness exists. Saying don't worry and be happy sounds too simplistic, but in the middle of that is a sense of contentment. Tell us a little bit more about what contentment is to you and how it works.
Yes, I think I've learned over the years by sitting down to hear from people, I could picture that dissatisfaction in the heart that make them worry. You see, concern, we often use worrying in place of concern. It's okay. It's natural for us to be concerned about something that it might hurt us and all of that. It's natural. But when it starts to bite on us and start to affect us, we sleep on it, we wake up on it, and it impacts our relationship, the way we're saying words, the way we think, then we start getting to worry. And when we worry more, it goes to that place of anxiety. So I came to realize, sitting down with people, and part of my approach clinically is to address what it is that is, what are they discontent with? And I've come across people who are discontent with their marriage.
Yep.
They're not happy, so they look for someone else. Mm. They're not happy with their marriage. They're not happy with that person, so they look for something better that will meet that satisfaction, as an example.
So for you, this idea of contentment, which is not necessarily, it's not laziness, is it?
No.
It's not that'll do. There's definitely a drive, and you're speaking specifically, and I liked the thought, you're speaking specifically about your fitness journey, which is not one of you want to become a bodybuilder, but this sense of I need to be satisfied with who I am internally, this sense of self-worth, but I'm not content with just doing nothing.
Absolutely. One other thing I didn't cover is the when I'm in the pool, I see these guys coming down from the gym. I look at the muscles and I look at their body and I look at them and if the discontentment in me is I want to be that body in order for me to be satisfied. For me, that's when comparison comes to the game. When we are not happy, we start to compare. If only I have a better house like that car, that person. If I only have a better car like that. If I only have a better this and that. If a better body, I'll be happy. But for me, I look at it. It's great, inspiring. But I don't have to have that body to be satisfied. I'm okay with who I am. And
so the difference, the distance between, you're talking about you go to the pool and you do aquarobics or correct. Not aqua, what's it called?
I do a hydro
training,
exercise,
which is helps you with some arthritic stuff that you've got going on, and there's just a general keep your body moving kind of approach. So you're inspired by people who are fit and healthy, but you're not jealous or feeling less than because of those.
Absolutely. When I'm in a pool, when I'm in the 25 minutes and sometimes the 50 lane, I look at other people and it's embarrassing sometimes to see that 80, 90 year olds will swim faster than me.
Yeah.
They inspire me and it challenges me. But those people that are swimming faster and all of that, it doesn't discourage me from keep going. I do, even though it's quite slow and I have my own pace, I still content going to the pool. Just this week, a couple has been shifting and spend more time in the pool instead of the doing exercises.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, that's inspiring because I've been focusing on the pool, doing the rehab exercise stuff. But now I start to move to do more of the pool. So I think it's part of contentment is just shifting gear without being discontent.
I like that. I like that. So there's this sense of the things you have to do to look after yourself, to just be to be a good steward of your own physical body. It's not driven by I have to be something I'm not.
You just nailed something I did not cover on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, elaborate.
This is why we're elaborating it now, because sometimes I used to do that, even with my weights and so forth. I came to a point, you hear people talk about, try and eat well and get healthy because you want to be there for your grandchildren or your children walk down the aisles. And I've been there before and I've worked with people who have that kind of mentality that the have to is the driving force.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned over the years and hearing people in my own life and other people, when you put the have to into the mental capacity, part of your brain in your life, when you're driven by have to, you get to a point where you're getting tired. I just do it because I have to. It's different when you do something when you want to.
Of course.
We used to drive back after work from Essendon. We'll drop by and have KFC and all of that. It's easy on the way back. Then I come to a point that if I were to eat any of that thing, I eat it because I want to, because if I avoid, and I get to a point where I avoid it, I did it because I want to. I go to the gym because I want to. I want to be content because this is the choice that Paul made.
Yeah.
I want to be content.
So this is the Philippians 4:12 where he's saying, I have learnt to be content. And of course, Paul's writing from a, you know, he's been beaten up, he's been stoned, he's been jailed, he's done everything.
Correct.
Everything that would depress, push down, cause anxiety, make you feel less than. And yet he's sitting there confidently saying to the church at Philippi, I have learnt to be content and so should you.
And he used the word secret.
Yes, the secret of contentment.
The secret of contentment. Yes. Elvis Presley learned that secret of contentment. And no wonder why Jesus said, don't worry. It wasn't just a simply making a statement. Mm. Jesus knew that there is something. And looking back, perhaps the first people who heard Jesus say that word didn't fully understand until some years later, Paul come to realize that the follower of Jesus keep defaulting back to that kind of worry. And for Paul, he experienced in his life and said, there's more to it, what Jesus was referring to. Because if Jesus said, if you just trust me, if you just live the things that seems hard now, if you leave it to me, if you only trust me, then you don't need to be driven by that. You need to look at the satisfaction in life will only be found in Jesus and Jesus alone.
So Paul's known of the words of Jesus, but essentially his testimony has borne out how to find that secret. Your testimony is one of you started out life in a very, very different cultural context. You spoke about this idea that, you know, your house blows down 1 week and quite literally the community would come together and rebuild a new shelter for people. You would, in Tonga, you would stop in the middle of the road to have a chat. There was this sense of something you've drawn on culturally that's allowed you to, even in the Western culture that you're in now, you still draw on that for that contentment?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what I learned. And I'm sure the third one country will probably agree with Matt on that regard. We'll identify with that sometimes we're less stress, less worry, less anxiety because they live with less and they know what it means to be content with less. And I think that's what Paul's testimony and he speaks to those. And in a Western society, we have everything. We have plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, the having plenty and is a temptation that if we fail to realize the discontentment, we will always strive for more and for better. And if having more and better is the answer to our dissatisfaction, then we'll be driven with that instead of being happy with what we have. Whatever that may be.
So the distance between, like you're saying, being inspired by rather than driven by.
Yes, I think there's a whole lot of, there's difference between the two because when you're driven by the longing for something better, then you wake up, you sleep on it, you wake up and you will, the danger is that you will try to put a lot of effort to it to make it happen. And reality shows that you either not where it happened, or you drive to do something that is not right. You leave your partner and find another person.
Right. I'll just replace the thing with the other thing.
And because in our mind, scientifically, is that pleasure system in our brain that looking for whatever it is that will fill that pleasure system, and we're longing and we're looking for it, that's a place of discontentment. That if I can only feel that pleasure inside of me to satisfy me, that I'm happy. In reality, most of the time, we don't find it. And this is why this guy's testimony, Elvis Presley, Solomon, speaks volume to that because they had it all. And I think the learning lesson is for us just to try and tap into that place of discontentment and contentment and see, are we contented with what we have or is there something that drives us to go beyond instead of being grateful for what we have? Whether it's little or just whatever we have, and it's not just relationship, resources, houses, cars, whatever it is, it's okay to concern for more. I don't think we take that worry. It's a part of our human being.
Sure.
We all know that it's part of it, but we need to do from a preventative place. If we can avoid getting too far to a place where it is a lot more difficult to intervene, then I think that's the call of Christianity. It doesn't mean we can't intervene when something's so severe like anxiety, but if we can avoid by tapping into the idea of contentment in our heart, then I think we'll have a much better productive Christian life that we are called from the Bible to live.
Just to sing and praise the Lord.
And just to sing, go to the chapel, get down on your knees humbly and be grateful. And it's symbolic.
Yeah. Pastor Indicate, thank you for your message on the weekend. For all of those who want to hear it, you can jump onto the WBC Sermon podcast and you can hear the whole message. But the idea of being satisfied and the sort of that sense of, I love that basically it's come from part of your practice has been to sing. And to sing praises, which is a change of mindset. It's a change of pace. It uses your lungs, it uses your whole body, and it refocuses you. And so we love it when you sing.
Thank you.
So you should just sing us out now.
ABC.
Don't you have a signature? Don't you have a signature? Oh no! Actually, I'm going to introduce a girl you know fairly well. Actually, so I wonder, could you maybe do a welcome for Ty? There's this girl called Fatai.
Oh, I was going to say my wife, Anne.
I'm going to invite your daughter, Fatai, on the podcast really soon. Maybe just sing a song to welcome her?
Welcome. You saw me crying in the chapel. I don't have the singing mode in my head right now. What songs did I sing?
I don't know. I just like putting you on the spot. We'll welcome Fatai by her father crying in the chapel. Mate, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks to Pastor Rinne for a brilliant chat. Always encouraging, always inspiring, always insightful. Right now in the studio, the very wonderful, well, from the same family tree, it's Fatai.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing, mate?
So great.
I forgot to give the rundown of, like, you know, professional singer, international superstar, has more followers on social media than me or anybody, all the rest of us put together.
Wow, she sounds great.
She sounds amazing. I wish I could meet her.
I like her. What sound of her?
So nice to have you here. Thank you for coming in. Of course. Thank you for being part of our crew here at WBC. I think you need just one more round of applause, really.
Thank you.
Yeah. That audience gave up quickly, I must say. My friend, you've been part of the WBC community since late 2021? Or was it early 2022?
It was early 2022. My family got here first. Really? Yes.
It's all just a bit of a blur. I feel like you're part of the furniture, you're part of the crew, you've just jumped in and brought your whole heart to the community here, and we're so thankful for that. But you were in the US for several years prior to that, right? How many years were you in the US for?
6 years.
And what were you doing? Because there was sort of a church component to that, and there was also a professional musician component to that.
Yep. So a little tiny church out in the suburbs of Illinois got me over in 2016.
Okay.
Willow Creek Community Church.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
I've been serving with them for the last 6 years.
So let me just to get past the joke part of it, little tiny church meaning what, about 30,000?
At the time, yes.
Yeah, 30,000 people. And your task on a Sunday was to lead worship, is that right?
Absolutely.
And were you doing training and things like that with the teams there, or was there another part to your role?
So Willow Creek is, for some who might know, quite a creatively expressive church. So yeah, there was plenty of creativity going on all the time. So we'd do some fun songs on a service outside of just the regular worship, and there was always something going on at Willow.
And you were in between, you were developing your own artistry as well, mm-hmm, your own music and touring and traveling with that. Often just you and the guitar?
Yes. For many years I've been touring just on my own.
So, because oftentimes when people think, wow, you're an artist and isn't that great, you get to express your gift. But we've been talking about worry, we've been talking about stress, we've been talking about anxiety, mm-hmm, and we've been talking about finding peace. Over that season, I can imagine there would be lots and lots of joy in that. Lots of, wow, what a highlight. I'm sure you had moments where you're thinking, wow, I get to do this.
Yep.
But give me a sense of the balance between the moments of wow and the moments of
balance I know not of.
Yes.
it seems so far-fetched, but of course we're trying to practice it as a church. My life has been nothing but a series of unexpected events.
Mm-hmm.
From very young, I left school at 13 unexpectedly to pursue music. I was signed to EMI with a development deal, and I've been doing music ever since. did some studies in uni and TAFE, and then was scouted for a little show called The Voice. Did that, got signed by Universal, moved to Sydney, did the whole singer-songwriter thing, which eventually amounted to not much.
Not much.
Which happens for a lot of us artists. And then I moved back home. I chucked up a video online and it went viral.
Which one was that? Because I think I know the one, but...
Yeah. Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Yeah. Which I got to say, I put up a video of that too. Didn't work out the same way. Didn't work.
Yeah. Apples and oranges.
Yeah, right. What are you calling me, an orange?
Whichever fruit you like the best.
I wanted to be an apple, just like you. But but the point is that some of this stuff feels so chance-based, and obviously as a person of faith, you believe that God's got his hand in all of those things. But the worry aspect of that, you're a young woman, you're 13, you leave school. All of that, all of what you've described is sort of 10 years of your life in a couple of paragraphs.
Yes, it is.
What's the weight of worry, and did people help you deal with that? How did you actually cope with what was happening? And maybe just share with us a moment where, because I know you were sharing with us on the platform recently on a Sunday, that worry has been a big worry for you.
Yep. I think to a lot of people when I explain what's happened in the last 10 years of my life like this, it sounds adventurous and awesome and wonderful, which a part of it was, but right next to it is all the emotions and feelings that come with change.
Yeah.
And unexpected change, when you think your life is going that way and God decides to go this way, is it just happened, something new happened every year. And even now, my life is constantly changing. I'm in Australia now, which is not part of the plans. I'm you know, supposed to be in America, continuing serving at the church and doing all my music and stuff, but circumstances have led me back home.
Yeah. We're happy about that, just by the way. We're very happy. Thank
me
you.
Too.
Thank you to the good Lord above and for Ty's lack of planning. No, she's here with us.
Hilarious.
No, but seriously, worry has been a huge burden for you.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like you're in a good space now. What's been the... What's been the change? Have you learnt new skills? What's been happening for you?
Well, I'll just say worry is natural. It's very human of us to experience that. So I am not without worrying in my days of living and going about life. And even with all these changes, there's always going to be that sense of worry. I think the challenge is not letting that overwhelm you.
Yep.
Or take over or steer the ship. And so I think there's this balance. When we talk about balance, I think it's both feeling that worry but surrendering it to God. And for me, the thing that reigns most true, there's no band-aid fix to worry. It doesn't just go away magically. I think you just learn how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And rise above it. And so for me, just more spiritually speaking, what has held me together is the knowledge that I am not alone. Even though I feel lonely, for a lot of people, they don't really know this, because I'm in front of crowds all the time. I do shows around the world and I'm in crowds all the time, and somehow I always feel a sense of loneliness in my thoughts. Inside, I'm introverted, so that doesn't help, especially through lockdown. But despite what I go through and how I feel, there is a truth that reigns above any other feeling that I feel or circumstance that I go through, and that is that God is with me.
The contrast of personality and gift mix. Your gift mix is a public gift. Your personality is a private personality.
Yeah.
And in between, it's like for us to sort of express who we are in God, he says, use your gift. Does that feel like an unfair pressure at times for you?
The interesting about the creative in this instance for us, the creative and the human isn't too far, far apart. So I think, we get used to kind of taking off hats and putting on hats, but I think the most important thing that keeps us grounded in every role that we play in our lives, mom, dad, sister, brother, creative in your work, is knowing who we are at the core, and that's a worshipper.
Right.
And so I am, before anything else, I'm a child of God and I am a worshipper. My main role in anything I do should be to adore our precious King.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm just so taken by that answer because, again, there's that sense of the gift mix is public. The people that know you outside of church life probably right. know you as Fatai the artist. Mm. In our church family, you're just part of the family. Mm-hmm. And then what's grounding you is actually the practice of your faith, which is
yes.
giving glory, giving honor, giving worship
yes.
to God.
And it's an imperfect journey. I'll just put it out there.
I was hoping yeah. that you were like the perfect one and we could just like copy you. Fatai's three tips to being the most perfect human being coming up right after the break. One of the things I've really appreciated about you, of course, if you have brought your gift to the house, and obviously I come from a creative stock as well, and being a songwriter, and you've jumped in and we've written a couple of songs together. We did one at Easter called...
My Reward. My Reward. That is such a creative thing. We write songs just to forget them.
It was a really good song, though. I thought it worked quite well.
It wasn't too bad.
It was called My Reward, and that was done with the combined services. This year, we've jumped back into the writing room and started to write about this idea of the preciousness of our King. Tell me about sort of what happened as we were writing this for you.
Sure. So. I love getting in the room to write with you. It's awesome and fun, but also spirit enriching. So I remember you bringing in an idea,
mm-hmm.
and then we built upon that. And I think when I think of Precious King, I have two things in mind, and I hold them in balance. One is the fragility. Of yeah. Such great power held in a baby.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And then also our precious King as we know him in the life that he has lived, worthy of reverence.
Yeah.
And so I think it's such a... If I put myself outside of my body, I'm actually moved by the song that we've written because I believe we've had the help of the Holy Spirit to put these words together. Even those verses that you wrote, Justin... Mm. It's my favorite part of it because it's straight from the scriptures and it's full of incredible context and power and wisdom for us to draw from.
Mm.
And then the chorus as well is just big and beautiful and vertical.
Right,
and
right,
I love
right.
songs that go vertical. It's, sure. it's awesome to, even when we talk about worry and what we go through, I think what we're looking for in terms of healing and relief is found in looking up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so this song causes us to do that.
Well, strangely enough, in the studio today, I have a guitar.
Wow.
Who knew? Who knew? Fatai met me, we met years ago, but we've gotten to know each other more recently. And she knows I like to put her on the spot. So... But I thought, if it's okay with you,
yes.
We spoke to management earlier. but this is a song called Precious King. We thought we might just show them a little. And again, the context, we might actually put the lyrics up on the notes of the podcast. But this comes out of the Isaiah 9 prophecy of Messiah. We've sort of referenced the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew 13. You think about the lost sheep, the lost son, the lost coin in Luke 15. Psalm 150, with every breath, praise him. So there's a whole lot of scripture in this. But I just thought if we have a look at the chorus and the bridge, because I think we're going to have fun singing this at Christmas.
Let's.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For all the precious things, come worship Christ the King.
And he shall be
sing wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, oh precious one.
Song. I think that's going to be fun to sing with everybody at Christmas time.
Can't wait.
Definitely looking forward to it. But Ty, thank you so much for being on the Elaborators. You've been awesome. You've been amazing.
Thanks
and
for having me.
We will see you. Should we do it again?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I totally bought that. I totally bought. She's yes. coming back. She's coming back.
Totally. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. But yes, to coming back on the Elaborators. You guys are awesome.
Beautiful. It's been a fun Elaborators we've done. I think that was episode 4 with Pastor Inike and Fatai. Thank you so much to everybody who joined us. Don't forget to check us out on all the socials on the Werribee Baptist Church WBC places. If you have any questions, comments, or notes for Producer Simon, send Producer Simon some love. He's an amazing man. We love him. And he has an excellent beard. Hey, it's been great to be with you. And remember, to all of you listening right now, wherever you're listening from, don't worry, be happy. God bless. Woo-hoo. Everybody dance. Yes, yes, yes.